Hey guys, this is CTP with Barbell Shrug. For the video version of all these podcasts, go to our website, fitter.tv. That's FITR.TV. Check out the video version of all of them. They're a lot cooler. They're super juicy and tasty.
All right, guys, if you're listening to this episode and you're not watching, make sure to go to fitter.tv later on and watch the video, because there's going to be some swimming demonstrations and drills. You got to see it. You can't hear it.
I'm serious. Like, I'm like, oh, man, I'm so great. It's, like, it's I love everything. I just like you. I like sitting here talking to you. It just feels good to talk. And then, like, an hour later, I'm like, I don't want to do anything. I just want to lay down.
That's amazing.
That or I need more coffee. And then it starts over again.
I had espresso, like, 7 at night last night, and I still went to bed fine at 11.
Yeah, see, I'm just not used to it.
I respond well, actually. I mean, I still, and the thing is, I don't like drinking coffee every day because I like having the stimulus to respond from. So I kind of shy away from drinking it, just so that when I drink, I like have a response.
Yeah.
But
it's like,
if I drink it,
treat
like,
to me.
Yeah, but it doesn't get me nearly as bad. Like, I don't stay up late if I drink coffee. Like, I can still.
I don't really stay up late. I just feel jittery all day long.
I used to.
I can, like, hear my heartbeat.
I feel awesome.
So here's how I went through grad school. All the way through grad school. When I was writing my thesis, I couldn't write. Like, it would be funny. I would be, like, sitting in front of my computer for, like, an hour. And, like, God, I wrote, like, two words. Like, nothing's coming out. And I would take caffeine pills. And obviously, when you're taking caffeine pills, you don't know if you're taking only caffeine or there's a proprietary blend and there's some, like, ephedra or something like that in it. I really don't know what was in it, but it was funny because Kelly Hammond, who worked, like, right, like, on the cubicle right next to me, she could tell whenever it hit me. Because, like, it was like keys were flying. It was like, oh, it really hit you. I was like, yeah, this is going out, baby. This is happening. It was awesome.
Like, Jack 3D product, or what's the name of that brand?
I can't remember the brand.
Jack 3D.
USP Labs.
Yeah, USP Labs.
Geranium plant.
That shit is awesome.
Yeah. It was like, it's supposedly 200 milligrams of coffee, which is not that much, but I'm sure there was something else in it. Cause like, it really, like, I would get jittery, but I would get very productive. I was like,
man,
geranium root.
First time I ever tried Jack, this is like when it first came out, and like, it was like, you know, the big wave, and you guys had a bunch of it.
Yes, and we did. Doug, we got a bunch for free.
Yeah, Doug was like, try this stuff. And I was like, all right, I'll try it. And I went and lifted with Brian that morning, Coach Brian. And I think I took like two scoops, which is way too much. I'm drinking it, and I'm like driving there, and I'm like, boom! And I get there, and I warm up, and like ready to go, and I'm talking, and he's like, would you calm down and let me teach you? And I was like, yeah. I think I was good for like one lift. And then after that, like, I just like popped. I was like, I can't do it anymore. But one, I PR'd. And it was nice.
Oh, man, that's funny.
And then the rest of the day, I was like,
ugh. All right, guys, we're going to get started with our 21st episode. Is that right? 21, Barbell Shrug. Thanks for staying tuned in. And if you're new to the show, make sure to go back and watch the earlier ones, too. It definitely has gotten better since we've been going on. Steep learning curve for us. Barbell Shrug is a strength conditioning podcast. I'm Mike Bledsoe. I've been running Faction Strength Conditioning along with Doug and Chris and Rob and those guys for about 5 years. So we've learned some things along the way and hope to pass them on to you guys. I'm here with Mike McGoldrick, one of our athletes and coaches.
Hello.
And Lucas Ferreira. Ooh.
Right. That's good.
Yeah. He hails from Brazil. And he now coaches near Atlanta at he's a swim coach at Gwinnett Aquatics.
Yes. Yeah. I work mostly with youth swimming. That's, I think, my day-to-day job. I work with mostly kids, high school kids and all that. But, I mean, with that, I guess, kind of blends into what we were trying to do and talk about CrossFit for swimming for CrossFit athletes. One thing that I'm going to put out there right away. I thought when McGoldrick came up with the idea of the podcast and talk about swimming mm-hmm. for CrossFitters and swimming for people that don't know how to swim, the first thing that hit me was like, man, I really don't do that. Like I work with kids that know how to swim and want to be real proficient in swimming. So this is kind of Like I said, it was good because it got my wheels turning around again. Like, oh, like what are the things that people can do? But I guess I'm jumping the gun here and kind of telling.
Sure, that's okay. Yeah. I just to give you guys a heads up. I mean, this entire show is gonna be nothing but swimming. If you sent me some questions, I received some this last week that we're gonna talk about. That's gonna be on the next episode. So there's gonna be an episode where I answer questions and all that kind of stuff. So. You're not going to get those on this one, but you are going to learn how to start implementing swimming into your training as a CrossFitter, what you should do, how to balance in the water, and maybe how to balance your weight training and CrossFit training with swimming. We're going to talk about some good resources on how to become a better swimmer, what a typical swim workout might look like for a CrossFitter, and if you don't have any training, you run into a competition, how to survive in the water, like basically how to survive that in that competition, not how to not drown, but how to basically
get
point A to point B. You know, that may not be your event, but you know, basically do well enough to where you can make it up on the other side. So we'll kick it off. We'll start off. Most CrossFitters, probably the ones that are going to be most interested in listening to this episode, we're going to talk about beginners, people who are, they're fit people. You know, they've got good cardiovascular, good muscular endurance. They're strong, but they're beginners in swimming. It's a new skill. Go ahead, McGoldrick.
That's me.
McGoldrick is a beginner, and so I think that's one reason he came up with this idea. He was like, "Oh my God, we need that."
It's great. I mean, you're a real athlete out of the water, and then I mean, when you get in the water, the environment changes completely.
Wounded.
Yeah, and it's all of a sudden it's like a fish out of the water, but. Like we were talking just before we started filming, I think the number one thing, I think everybody can understand how important balance is for any activity. So like you wouldn't try to lift weights off the ground if you didn't know how to balance on the ground. I think everybody understands that because we are land animals, we understand balance on land fairly well. So when you're, especially if you're a real athlete and you try to get into swimming and you try to get into the water and try to swim, what balance is changes, and I think that's the number one thing that people really struggle with when they don't know how to swim, is they don't understand that learning how to balance in the water might be the first step. We all went through this on land, but again, you're changing your environment, and balancing in the water is different than learning how to balance on land. Essentially, balancing on land means you're standing up straight and on 2 feet, and if you try to do that in the water, it's actually not going to work very well. So I was talking about how one of the most important things for concepts for swimming is understanding that you have a center of buoyancy, which is essentially right around where your lungs are, because you have air in your lungs, so your lungs tend to float. And then your center of mass is further down. It's roughly around your navel. It changes depending on how your limb positions change and all that. But so those two, when you're laying down in the water, they are apart from each other. And what that means is you have a force coming from underneath pushing you upwards and your center of mass pushing you downward. And that generates torque. And that's why what causes your leg to try to sink.
Mm-hmm.
I also feel like the basic tendency that people that don't know how to swim have whenever they get in the water is you want to breathe, right? You don't want to drown. So what you do, you lift your head. And the moment you lift your head, you're shifting your center of mass even further back. And with that, you tend to sink even quicker. So again, I think that would be the number one thing. It's like you got to first understand what balance in the water is. And then McGoldrick was talking about a resource that he used that I think is actually quite helpful for people that don't know how to swim.
Number one issue when I started was everyone that I had 5 or 6 people come out with me to try and help me swim because it was just awful.
it was fun.
And I mean, I was I'm swimming 25 meters and having to stop because I'm like, I feel like I'm dragging a weight. I'm like, this is so hard. Why is it so hard for me? And then the 60-year-old man next to me is just swimming all
laps.
Day long. Yeah, just cruising. And the first thing someone told me was, well, your legs are like almost perpendicular to your upper torso when you swim. And they're like, you know, kick harder. And I'm like, okay, I'll kick harder. You know, it'll help me float better, right? So in theory, you think that would work. Well, then it just makes me more tired. So I'd still get 25 meters down. Sure, I probably floated better, but now I'm just twice as tired because I'm having to kick as hard.
Because you're
and we'll get to where I learned how to change that in a little bit. But yeah, basically balancing more and just being more efficient, trying to glide in the water was a big difference.
Right.
Now, Lucas, what a for someone who's never swam laps, you know, I think most, I mean, obviously there's some people who can't swim at all, and they obviously probably just need to find a swim coach somewhere and say, teach me how to not drown.
Right, right.
You know, I don't think we can address that on a radio show.
That would be a 12-month series.
Someone goes out in the pool and drowns. Like, yeah, they told me.
Yeah. Yeah.
They told me how to swim.
Sign the electronic waiver.
Yeah, that would be the electronic waiver. Do not go in the pool by yourself after listening to this podcast.
Yeah. I understand balance now. That's right.
I'll just
put my legs up. Can't breathe underwater. Strange. So I want to talk about approach for beginners. What exactly should beginners be doing? People who can obviously know how to not drown and maybe know how to get from point A to point B, but you throw them in the ocean for a 400-meter swim.
It's a different beast.
If you're training for that, what's your first training session look like?
I think the three key words that we talk about in swimming for people that are trying to be more proficient in swimming is rhythm, range, and relaxation. So you have to have rhythm in your stroke. You have to have range, reach. And
rhythm?
Rhythm. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. You're gonna have to translate rhythm. Whatever I'm saying.
Lead
for yeah, rhythm.
I think you can do it.
Yeah. I can. If I hear it once, I might be able to repeat it. I just watched Snatch this morning too, so I'm gonna start talking Pikey in a second.
Snatch the movie.
Yeah. So rhythm, is that right?
Good.
Range, which is the reach, and then relaxation. And I think relaxation is actually the number one thing. So for people that know how not to drown, but they don't know how to swim and they're trying to get a little bit more proficient, I think the number one thing is learn how to relax in the water. And that pretty much goes with any sport. Like when you watch people that are proficient at something, they always make it look like it's easier than what it really is. So with swimming, that's also true. So learning how to relax in the water, I think would be the number one. Now, the number one goal, I think, would be understanding buoyancy, understanding how can you make it so. So like McGoldrick was saying, so his problem was that his legs were sinking, and that's generally everybody's problem. And I think that people that are more proficient in weightlifting and things like that, your bone density tends to be even higher than people that don't train at all. So you might actually tend to sink even a little bit more.
Yeah.
People that are stronger in the legs and all that, you have that.
And that's where it all started initially. I had some friends that were like, we'll do the buoyancy test on you. You know, I don't remember exactly how it worked, but they had me like drop under, blow all the air out and see where I float, that kind of thing. And it wasn't what they expected. Like, I floated fine. And then they're like, oh shit. You have a lot of muscle mass. And I'm like, there's guys twice as big as me swimming fine. Like, that's I don't believe in that. It's something mechanical.
Yeah, it's definitely learning how to interact with the water. And that's what I mean. That's why I think being able to relax in that environment, understanding how it works. So I think that's going to be part of what, again, I'm really jumping the gun forward to what we're planning on doing here. But we talked about afterwards doing some stuff in the pool and trying to do what.
It's okay. You can tell people.
Yeah. Here you go.
Hopefully we can see an example of, you know, me swimming when I have no balance whatsoever. Right. I'll try and do like a before and after type thing.
Right.
And you can see the difference.
It's noticeable. So, like I said, understanding that buoyancy, understanding how to relax in the water, and understanding how, again. But one of the things that makes it very easy, a lot easier, is if you learn how to breathe without necessarily having to lift your head away from the water all the time. So
which comes down to just being comfortable in the water.
Just exactly. So and just being able
takes,
to.
It takes a little while to learn. I'll use myself again as an example. Sorry, I keep bringing myself back into it. But, you know, there's two types of beginners, I think. I think one that is not comfortable in the water and don't know how to swim, and there's one who might be pretty comfortable and is just not very good at swimming.
Right.
When me and Shepard go swim, he seems to be pretty comfortable in the water and his stroke's okay. I'm sorry, his stroke seems to be pretty good, but he's not very comfortable in the water, so his breathing sucks.
Right.
Me, I'm like both. I'm terrible at both of them. And rather than doing drills, I just had to swim more. Like, I just had to get in there and just do it and just get used to sucking up water every once in a while and knowing where I can place my head and that kind of thing.
I think, I mean, and there's always, there's obviously a balance to find there. I think, if you're not comfortable at all and you're terrible at it, you might actually gain more out of just trying to swim a couple of laps and just trying to do a little bit more and more of it, just, again, because that starts getting you into that comfortable position. And then, after a while, you might be able to do some drills and actually gain more out of the drills than if you did the other way around. If you just did drills for a month before you try to swim at all. And we were talking about, it's the same with if somebody walks into a CrossFit facility and they never lifted before. You don't just tell them, like, explain Olympic lifts for them for 3 months before they try to do a WOD. Right, they're gonna sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing. Like, I'm not gonna throw a bar or maybe not even a PVC pipe in someone's hand and start teaching them snatch until they've got quite a few squats.
Right,
like you know, they may just do bodyweight squats. Right, so they just, you know, we want to maybe not. We don't have to master, but we have to get comfortable
with just moving,
going up and down. You know, and it's gonna happen a little bit faster since we're on land.
Right,
and we are used to being on our feet.
Yeah.
So doing a squat is not as novel as swimming can be, but I think, you know, you got to get a certain amount of training volume, and it doesn't matter how you get it. You know,
just
get in the water for X amount of time.
Totally
and
agree.
Then, you know, it's the same thing with, you know, some weightlifters. It's like you may got the technique, and they may even have the technique down, but they're weak. And they're like, what do I need to do? I was like, got to get stronger. Like, how do I get stronger? I was like, time under the bar. Just got to be under the bar.
Yeah.
And the same thing with swimming. You just got to be in the water. I mean, maybe you don't need to be swimming laps. Maybe you should just be playing water polo.
That's, things like that. I mean, there's, we're going to talk about a little, some sculling that I think can help. Learning how to scull and sculling as you're doing some buoys. So I think this is going to get a little bit more clear as when we're in the water and trying to interact. And I think having McGoldrick around, it's going to be real good because, again, it's somebody that, I mean, obviously, from what I understand, you are way more proficient now than you were a couple months ago.
Yeah, but it's still nothing great,
but I can
get by now for sure. Yeah,
so we can try to, if I can get him to do a couple of the skills that I'm thinking about now, I, that means that most people should be able to do them, provided, again, point I want to make clear is, I mean, like we're saying, we're used to being in our feet. We're used to being on land. The only people that I'm concerned with regards to swimming is people that are actually scared of the water. There are people that actually have this life-threatening fear of drowning. And in that case, like, you should not be in a pool by yourself. Because people drown in water that's shallow enough for them to put their feet on the bottom and walk. And the reason they drown is because they panic and they don't know what to do. So,
right. I mean, there's a difference from someone, if you throw them in the ocean, say, swim 200 meters, they get tired. They naturally would turn on their back and just be like, all right, I'm cool here. Some people don't know to do that, and they freak out.
And they freak out. Yeah. And
they just wear themselves down.
So I guess kind of tying along, part of the goal here is to get people to understand how to get through if they don't know how to swim, but also how to get through if you go to a competition and there's a swimming portion to it, how to get through saving some energy, because that's what we were talking about when you did your triathlon, right?
Yeah, a good example. Let's say you're at a CrossFit competition or you sign up for your first triathlon. I don't necessarily want to – it's a sprint try. I don't necessarily want to spend 3 months training. I want to go out and have some fun and do it.
Right.
Well, it's in the ocean, and I've never swam 300 meters in my life. You know, like I said earlier, I have to swim 25 meters and stop and take a break. Let's say, you know, in my shoes, how can I get by? Like, what would you recommend? I go out in the water and I swim as far as I can for the freestyle, and then I've hit my limit of a whopping, you know, 50 meters, and I'm tired. What do I do?
Right.
Do I turn to my back? You know, what do you recommend?
So there's, I think, and what I think what you did instinctively was actually the right thing. That's what you said. What you did.
Yeah, I didn't want to die.
You just.
You can't finish the race if you're not alive.
I was that example.
Turning on your back, it turns out, is a possibility. I think we were talking about side stroke. Side stroke can be a little easier for people who don't know how to swim to just continue going and having some side stroke.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the alternatives, really. It's turning your back, doing what we would call elementary backstroke, which your hands are not really leaving the water and you're doing sort of a breaststroke kick. And again, we're in that case where we're trying not to die, but also if you're in that position in that race, it's also an oath to, again, get you through and then get you on land and hopefully have some energy to continue with the event.
Two more legs of the race left.
Exactly. You still got a bike and run.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you don't know how to swim, it doesn't, like, even if you were able to do the 300 meters, like, okay, this is the first time you ever swam 300 meters, then you're going to crawl on land and you still got a bike and run. I mean, the event is also essentially over. Sure. So I guess that's part of the goal here is not only learn how to survive the swimming portion of the event, but how can you get through saving
have,
some energy?
Have some gas left.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, we're talking about a specific instance where we went down to Alabama and did a
necessary?
Sprint try.
This is not necessary.
Sprint try. And I was actually worried about my wife even like drowning, and she passed McGoldrick in the water. She rubbed it. She still rubs it in his face to this day. I'm pretty sure of it.
It wasn't even that far. Like, it was a 300 meter swim starting on the beach. So, like, realistically, you're swimming like 150 meters total. Like, because you're walking half of it, you know, getting out into the water.
Yeah, getting in and out.
And I get out and I'm like, man, I'm doing fine. And then Ashley just like flies behind me and I'm like, what the hell is going on? Like, what am I doing wrong? And then before I know it, I'm on my back and I'm just looking at the sky and I'm like, this is so hard. And all of a sudden I hit something. I hit my head and I turn and I look up and it's like a lifeguard on a paddleboard. And he's like, you all right? And I'm like, I'm fine. And he's like, you need to go that way. I was probably like 50 meters off course. I wasn't even looking anymore. I was just kicking and going.
I hate life.
And he's like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm cool. I'm just slow.
But at that point, McGoldrick had been beating me on so many different things that I was like excited. Like when I saw him on the bike, and I was like, "Oh man, this dude's so far behind me!" Yes,
finally.
Ashley said she didn't know I was ahead of her, and she's on the bike probably halfway through it, and I pass her, and I'm like pissed. I'm like, I pass her, and she's like, "What? What?" She said she got excited because she knew she was beating me.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Great story.
Yeah. Lesson learned.
We're going to take a quick break. Watch this cool video. We'll be back in a second.
All right.
Mangy mutt. Hey there. This is Macy.
That's Macy.
Macy.
Go ahead, guys.
Grace.
All right, guys. We're back. Barbell Shrugged. Talking with Mike McGoldrick and Lucas Ferreira. Yep. And we're still talking about swimming. This is the total swimming barbell shrug. Do not try to shrug barbells in the water. And McGoldrick was talking about a book that really helped him out. Kind of, people were telling you, you know, to get your head down, feet up, and you need to kick harder. But it wasn't until you read this book that kind of things started to click.
Yeah, I had a lot of advice from a lot of different people, and I still didn't really understand like how my body's supposed to be placed in the water. Like, I had no idea. And you know, your legs are sinking, so kick harder. Okay, well now I'm more tired. Oh well, take a longer breath. Well now I'm like upside down. You know, it just one thing after another. The book is called Total Immersion, and it's got some great examples, starting from the very beginning on, you know, some very basic drills on how to you know. Like Luke was talking about earlier, pressing your buoy into the water, basically working on your balance in the water.
Pressing your boobie in the water?
Pressing your chest.
Your chest in the water, your buoy.
Your center buoy, you see.
The first quarter of the book talks about just being balanced in the water. Yeah. And it's got a lot of good examples that, if you know nothing about swimming, make a lot of sense to you. I highly recommend it. I don't remember the name of the author, but we'll try and get a picture of it on there.
I'm going to... This book is actually, it's funny, it has a mixed rap in terms of like people that work only with swimming, because when you're talking about competitive swimming, there's other things that you're looking for. And so some people, when it first came out, some people were saying, oh, this is the thing for swimmers. And then people that are into the competitive swimming arena said, well, this is not really what competitive swimmers do. The body positions are different because at that point you're more interested in just getting through the race quick and all that.
That's exactly, you're exactly right. Like, and when you read the book, you'll understand that because it doesn't want you to swim hard.
Right.
It's like, this is, we want you to slow down. And the point of it is to be balanced and glide as long as you can. Basically start from scratch and, you know, slow down your stroke rate, everything. I can see where if you're sprinting hundreds and fifties, where this is not the right thing.
Right. Yeah.
So for people that are beginners,
for people that are trying to understand how to get along and get through with water and all that, I think that's a very
it's got a bunch of good cues that really stick in your head.
Right.
You know? You want to touch on some of those? Where are we at?
Well, we kind of talked about balance. I think we're going to talk about those cues a little bit more when we go to the pool.
Okay.
You want to play into the next topic?
Yeah. We'll just move on because, you'll talk about how to get balance in the pool.
Right.
And I think that's going to be done more with demonstrations and drills.
Yeah.
What's a typical swim workout for a CrossFitter? And I guess it's going to depend on beginner, if you're beginner, intermediate, or advanced. And I'll just describe what I think a beginner, intermediate, and advanced is. And a beginner is somebody who's not really comfortable in the water. I would consider McGoldrick a beginner. He's on his way to becoming intermediate. A swim workout's going to kick your ass, and you probably don't need to be doing. Maybe that's your workout for the day,
right?
Is just being in the water and, you know, 1,000, 2,000 meter workout. You know, you're not swimming 5K, 10K in a single workout. Yeah. And then advanced is the guys that could swim 5, 10K in a workout, and it's okay, you know, and they'll come back that night and do it again.
Right.
And that's kind of how I view advanced. So let's go ahead and start with beginners. What's an example workout?
I think even within beginners, there would be quite a big range that we'd be talking about. But part of what we were talking about before, I think, as long as you can do a 25 meter without stopping, you'd be doing a couple of those. And I think that's a good starting point because you're it's like we're talking about time under the bar.
And this is freestyle.
This is freestyle. Okay. I would, if your goal is not to swim competitive, if your goal is to get through with,
a
competition portion.
My goal is to be able to complete a swim in a CrossFit competition or a triathlon.
I would, in that case, especially if you're a beginner, I would stick with freestyle. Maybe you throw some side stroke in there or some, like I said, when we go to the pool, we can talk about elementary backstroke, just so that you can do a little more without and learning how to do a little more without getting so tired. But yeah, I mean, there's no reason for you to start throwing butterfly in your workout. They would be like, yeah, well, why would you? I think if you're a beginner, you're going to break it down into shortest distance possible and try to do them well, try to do them correctly. And then with the time under the bar, I think progressively you're also going to start bringing in more drills, more understanding floating, understanding buoyancy. I think having a small kickboard is really helpful. Not a big kickboard, actually. I don't know what kind of buoys we're going to have at your dad's place, but I can talk about that too. How can you use a kickboard to understand floating and things like that? Actually, one of the things that would be real cool and I didn't have time to get is a bike inner tube.
Mm-hmm.
If you have an inner tube with just a little bit of air and you twist that and you put it around your feet, it really raises your body like to the position that you really want to go to, and it kind of isolates, like you have to all of a sudden work on your core as you swim, or else you start fishtailing. So that's something that even for advanced swimmers is a helpful tool. And I think for people that are learning, again, provided you don't panic because all of a sudden your feet are floating and your hands are, I think that can actually be a very, very helpful tool. And we can try to figure out if you can do something like that.
And there's nothing wrong with using those kind of tools.
Because
if you walk into a CrossFit gym and you can't do pull-ups, you know, we're not just going to throw you on the bar and make you gut it out.
Get harder.
We're going to give you. They're going to give you a band, right?
Exactly.
There's nothing wrong
if you don't know,
using
a
buoy or some hand fins.
Yeah, you're gonna
just to feel it out and get comfortable in the water first.
These are tools to help you get better. It's the same thing as using a band for pull-ups, using a PVC pipe instead of trying to do your first snatch with a 45-pound bar. I mean, if you can't do that, you're not going to do it.
So if you're a beginner, what are you going to do? Like, is you going to do 1,000 meters in a workout, 100 at a time, or 20?
I think, again, it kind of beginner, it's still, I think we're still talking about a big range here.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I would definitely keep it under 1,000 meters in a workout, but make it in a way that counts. So when you're swimming, first of all, don't just try swimming up and down. I think swimming up and down and getting the time, what we'd call time under the bar, is important. But again, try to get something more out of it. Try to understand what you're doing in the water a little bit. And understand and deal how your body position changing different things. And again, I think that this is going to be a little bit more clear once we go in the pool and demonstrate that.
Okay.
I think with an advanced or intermediate, swimmer slash crossfitter, then you can start throwing, I'd say, 2,000, 3,000 yards or meters a day. And one of the things that McGoldrick was saying on the break is that for people that are lifting constantly, a lot of times that swimming workout usually like really helps with recovery as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Because
you have, you're in that weightless environment. There's, there's
zero
no,
impact on the joints.
The no impact. So actually, I think throwing in two workouts with swimming, and I'm talking about not people that are swimmers. I'm talking about right now a CrossFitter that wants to start throwing in some water workouts in there. I think having it two times a week, maybe three times a week, it's very helpful. I think it can help with the recovery, help with how you feel the day after, actually, in terms of lifting, and you can start getting something more out of those workouts.
So if I'm training 5 days a week, do you think I should add it on top of one of those 5 days a week I'm training, or do you think I should put it in my sixth day, which is normally like a rest recovery day?
I would probably put one in your sixth day, and then if you're still interested in putting another one, then take one of the 5 days off. But again, I think this all depends on what your goals are for that, for whatever.
Are
you're
you
doing
beginner
right now.
Or intermediate?
Yeah, if you're talking about intermediate, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I'm assuming. But again, it's like, well, if your goal right now is to improve one specific skill in CrossFit, then that's not the way you want to go. But provided, if your goal right now is to, okay, I want to improve my whatever I can do in the water because I think this is going to be important for an upcoming competition, then absolutely take even one of the days from the lifting off, make those other 4 days more what's the word I'm looking for here, more valuable for you, more intense. Mm-hmm. But then add another day of swimming.
Sure.
And then finally, I think moving on to the advanced, one of the things we were talking about, if you're an advanced swimmer, there's actually a lot of things that are fun to do around the water, and this is provided you have a pool in your backyard or something like that.
Just won the,
Brazil won the gold medal.
I hate you.
So yeah, you can do things like swim a fast 25, get out of the water, do burpees, go a 25 underwater, or do a couple jumps in the middle of the pool, get your knees up to your chest, come out of the water again, do push presses and stuff like that. You can start mixing up your weight workout with your swim workout, and that can be very, very intense. Getting from that, because you're getting from one environment to another, you're having to deal with different different things during one workout. So I think when you're advanced, if that's kind of something that you want to try throwing in, it can make things very interesting, I think, in your training.
Yeah, and the last 2 years they had swimming in the CrossFit Games, but there's nothing to say that they're not going to have you swim 100 meters and then do some kettlebell swings and pull-ups and then swim another 100 meters.
Yeah.
Be like Water Helen, you know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah.
I could see that happening. And so people are, if you want to stay ahead of the curve, that might be where you need to go. But I wouldn't suggest this, and I'm assuming you wouldn't either. Like, if you're not at that advanced stage yet, you should probably not mess around with that.
Yeah, if you're not advanced stage yet, you should your first goal should be understanding how to deal with the water, understanding the environment, and understanding and getting more out of the swimming portion of it until you actually can do more. Otherwise, you're just, again, it's trying to juggle five balls when you can juggle three. That's,
right. Yep. And we're talking a little bit about frequency, and you were saying you could do up to 3 days because it's so low impact. And I kind of put it in the same categories like Airdyne,
right?
Sled work, rowing. Those are all conditioning tools. And that aren't going to cause a lot of muscle damage, so you can do them pretty frequently. So don't be afraid of swimming hurting your program, I guess. But it is going to affect your overall volume. I guess we're going to wrap it up. We're going to hit the pool, and Lucas is going to show us how to get better at swimming. And let's go through our plugs real quick. I'm just going to tell everyone to go to the shop on fitter.tv. Just go there and click the shop button, and we can buy coffee mugs now. So if you're a coffee drinker,
barbell shrugged.
You want to feel stronger while you're drinking coffee?
If you're not a coffee drinker, you should be one.
That's right. If you're one of those sissy tea drinkers, you can just don't buy the mug. we've got a seminar on there. We're working on getting more seminars up there. We're actually talking about possibly doing a swim seminar. So if you guys are interested in us doing a swim seminar with Lucas, something that's going to be way more detailed, shoot me an email on the website. Just go to fitter.tv and hit the contact button and email me and say, hey, I'd like to see that. you know, if anything you want to see, get on there and let me know. What do you, anything you want to plug?
Yeah, I mean, if people are watching this for the first time and you haven't been following Barbara Shrug, you're missing out. I think the other 20 episodes were great, every single one of them. Like, and like I said, each one I watch is like, oh, this is, seems like it's better than the one before, so you guys are doing a great job. So for people that are watching, if you haven't, again, if you haven't followed all the other episodes, go onto YouTube, watch them all, and keep following this. Sign up on fitter.tv, right?
Yep.
If you are interested in swimming around the Atlanta area, again, I work with Gwinnett Aquatics in Gwinnett County. We do have lessons as well. We do offer adult lessons. So if you're interested in having an instructor or something like that, you can go to gwinnettaquatics.com and sign up for that. And again, we have individual lessons. We have a group lessons. Or if you anybody that wants to start youth swimming, just come on over to Gwinnett Aquatics. And other than that, I guess everything else on fitter.tv.
McGoldrick.
Yeah, a couple things. Mobilitykits.com, new product up and running. We got a website launched as well. It's a foam roller. It's got contents inside. As comes with a pair of lacrosse balls, a stretch band, and a stick brand massaging stick. It's great if you're a traveling athlete, whether CrossFitter or running in races, or if you are someone who has trouble, you know, taking care of yourself after training. You have this kit with you. It's super convenient. It's right there, and everything you need is inside the kit. You know, you leave it around your house. You know, you're sitting on the couch. You know, grab the ball or lay on the ground while you're watching TV. Roll out. You know, you got to take care of yourself if you're wanting to improve your performance. This is a great way to do it. It's an all-inclusive piece, and once again, located at mobilitykits.com.
Yeah, actually, I have one in my living room right now, and my wife doesn't go anywhere without it. So it's in her travel bag all the time. She uses it a whole lot. I would say I use it a lot, but I am lazy. Anyways, I roll out only when absolutely necessary. I'm like, oh my God. but maybe that's why I'm not so competitive. All right, guys. Good having you. And stay tuned to watch the pool section. And if you're listening, you should probably go to fitter.tv to watch this episode because there's a lot of visual stuff there.
Yeah.
All right. Peace out.
See you later.
All right.